Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys hanging with us for the next 30 minutes. Going to be a lot of fun. Ava's here.
I'm always
here. Don's
here. I'm here.
We are all here, and we are happy to have you with us. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're actually going to be talking on a topic we missed last week. We touted it. Are your rifle cartridges matching your personality, Don?
Right.
We're going to do that. We're also going to talk about the aerated bait bucket controversy, something that I don't think has been brought up, and it's kind of an odd piece of enforcement. So sticking around with us. We are going to be back right after these words. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see both of you. How are you today?
Good, good.
Bright and oily, as the saying goes.
Yeah, it's been great weather.
I am not going to complain at all about the weather.
At least in this part of the country.
Well, where the show is broadcast, yeah. I think for the most part,
it's been pretty nice.
It's been pretty darn
top
awesome.
10 days for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. This weekend, it's going to be just into the 80s.
A little hot on Sunday.
As soon as we're done, I'm heading out to Port Washington and do a little salmon fishing. It's supposed to be nice, light winds, south. And it should be perfect.
What, not working out in Lake Michigan or what?
That's Lake Michigan.
Port Washington?
Port Washington.
Oh, Port Washington. I was thinking way out west.
Work with me.
Okay.
No, I'm going 4 hours, not 40.
That's one.
So I'm looking forward to getting out there. But yeah, the weather's been fantastic. It's one of those weird things. Last weekend, I was out on the river for one of the first times in a long, long while, and we were out trying to get some fish for a fish fry that we're having with the fishing league I'm a member of in town, and big picnic we're having, and so we got out early and launched out in Lake City, and he said, "Well, what do you want to do? Do we want to pitch jigs or do you want to whatever?" And I said, "You know what? Let's go troll." And made about three or four, probably four passes, and got six fish. Had probably nine on, and then all of a sudden, it was boat central. It was a take of it fishing event coming out of Rochester.
Oh.
38 boats in the same area.
Okay.
And everybody trying to make the same
pass.
Depth stretch pass. So we're ready to make the cut. All of a sudden, this guy comes in out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he's in the way coming the other. We're just like, you know what? Forget it. We just pulled out. But
it's a big lake.
Well, it is. And the frustrating part was there's a lot of guys that don't know. They'll run lead core, or if they have four people in the boat, they'll run planer boards.
Oh, yeah. That's a mess.
So when you're on planer boards, there was a lot of 8 planer board spreads. So a planer board is basically a chunk of wood with an angle cut in it. When you put it in the water and you pull it, it's going to pull away from the boat.
Yep.
Well, when you have 8 of them, it's like 50 feet, 60, 70 feet on either side of the boat, you can't, you have to get
you
out of the way.
Take a pretty big swath.
So my buddy and I were using lead core. So we have two 10-foot rods and a short rod.
Yep.
That works pretty good. And we caught our fish and stayed, were able to stay relatively tight to, you know, where we were. But, you know, lead core, pretty amazing presentation. I've done it so many years. And it really allows you to get the bait that may not dive quickly, gets it down deep, and maintains the depth. So it really provides a very different presentation than does monofilament, where monofilament doesn't have that ability and you have to draw let a lot of line out. So that's a big kind of piece of the puzzle. When you're running the river, the other advantage is you can run fire line as a leader. So you're usually around 10 feet of fire line. That's all you need. It's dirty enough water. Fish don't see it. They don't really care. And, you know, deep diving crankbait, whether it's generally shad wrap, jointed shad wrap is what we use out there. But, it had been a while since I've thrown the old lead core down. I prefer jig fishing, but got the job done.
If you're trolling, it's a pretty simple way.
Yeah.
Troll and get to the bottom of it. What kind of depth are you fishing in?
16, 15.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, we're looking at about 90 feet of line out.
Sure.
And you'll see that lead core's got multiple colors. Every 30 feet's a different color. So you can count colors or you just do the line counter is what I do. So you're exact. You let it till it, you see it start to bounce. Give it a couple cranks and so it's just off the bottom is one method. The other method is if you have a bottom that's not rocky, or it's not snag filled. A lot of times we'll call it grinding, and you just grind the bill of that bait right into the bottom of the lake. So
yeah,
that works.
If it's a sandy bottom,
sandy or muddy,
yeah,
either one. Silt, you know, and sometimes it when it digs up that the fish are like, whoa, check this out.
Yeah,
and having a rattle in there really helps too, because it adds to the attraction factor. So
yeah,
lead core is a good technique, and it was kind of fun to be able to get that to happen. Now, the Great Lakes, we use the lead core too, only the difference is we're using 5-color, 7-color, and 10-color of lead. And then we clip on a board and put it on. 10-color lead is 300 feet. You always make sure you hand it to the guest you're with so when you reel it in to check it, they're the ones that have to reel it in. So if you ever come out, Don, you'll know if I give you, here's your 10 color, you might want to check that one.
What kind of depth are you getting down with 10 colors?
Usually it's a 3 feet per color, so
about 30 feet.
30 feet, roughly.
Yeah. I think the deepest I've been able to fish with is about 32.
Yeah.
Out in a little bay to knock.
Yeah. A lot of times they'll put it, and everything is speed dependent too.
Yeah.
The more it's very,
well, it'll raise with more speed.
That's what I'm getting at. It's very susceptible to speed. So the faster you go, the more it's going to pull up.
Yeah.
So generally the speeds on that.
Well, there's more line resistance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Well, tell you what, stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit of bait bucket dilemma and does your cartridge match your personality? That and more when we come back.